Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others in their journey from darkness to light. This morning's show is going to be very much like last week's show in that I don't have a guest per se. I am looking forward to having guests call in to speak about the situation that has confronted us all over the past few weeks, which is the coronavirus or COVID-19. As most of you know, this has reached pandemic proportions in a very short amount of time, resulting in considerable restrictions on our way of life. The coronavirus is known to be much more potent than the swine flu. It is more infectious than the swine flu was. The mortality rate was lower with this swine flu, and it has increased severity and transmission. On the evening of March 22nd, there were 32,000 confirmed cases in the United States and 400 fatalities. 24 hours later, on the evening of the 23rd, there were 42,000 cases, which is an increase of 10,000 cases in 24 hours and 600 fatalities. New York is one of the hardest areas that has been hit. They have 6% of cases throughout the world, and I believe 50% of cases in the United States. The number of cases have tripled in the last 3 days in New York. I went over some basic information. The last show that I held, and you probably all got sick of hearing it, those of you that were listening for any length of time, because I kind of kept repeating myself. But the symptoms of COVID-19 or coronavirus are fever, cough, and shortness of breath. Basic precautions are to stay home. And I know we're using the term social distancing, and I really wish that we would use the term more indicated physical distancing rather than social distancing, because social distancing, in my opinion, has a negative connotation to it. Physical distancing implies more of a health precaution, in my opinion, anyway. But folks are encouraged also to wash their hands frequently, especially if you're living in a home with more than one person. Wash hands frequently for 20 seconds with soap and water. Use hand sanitizer and keep surfaces clean, because the way that this particular illness is transmitted, if a person coughs, those droplets will settle on surfaces like on counters and on end tables and coffee tables and things like that. So a person needs to be careful. Doorknobs is another one that needs to be considered. So a person needs to be careful about transmitting the virus that way. There's a lot of information out there. You have to be careful that you're getting the right information. Websites that are good to go to are the cdc.gov, and it is cdc.gov and not cdc.com. That's easy to get mixed up with those of us who use the internet. There's also a new website out there that the government has set up called coronavirus.gov. So I'd love to hear from folks as to how you are dealing with these changes. Are you working? Have you been laid off from your work? How are you doing financially? How are you doing spiritually? We're not able to meet with our faith communities anymore like we used to. So how are we keeping in touch, and what effect is that having on us? How about those of you who have small children at home? Nobody's going to school anymore, so families are used to having the kids and they've got them at home. How are they taking care of their educational needs and their social needs? All these kind of things are questions that we never had to deal with much before, but now this is a whole different way of life for us. I'd love to have you share with me. I'd like to get in contact with folks out there and see what's going on, how everybody's feeling, how everybody's doing. how you're handling this severe change in lifestyle. Urge folks to keep in touch with your senior friends and elderly friends in your communities. They're the folks that are often feeling very isolated. Many communities do. Many supermarkets and grocery stores do home delivery, so folks are able to get their needs met, but still it doesn't give them any sense of connecting with other people. So how are we managing to stay in touch? And for our younger people, they're so used to texting and using social media that this may not have as much of an effect on them as it does on us older folks. I've been keeping in touch with the news as much as I can. I try not to make it a major priority in my life, though, because I think you can get to the point where that's all you do is watch the news, and that can become rather depressing. So good morning. This is Step Into the Light. Welcome to the show. Who am I speaking to?
Good morning, Patty. This is Geraldine in Colorado.
Morning, Geraldine. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hope you are also.
I'm doing fine, thanks. There's a funny click in the phone, and I don't know why, but we'll see how far we can get with conversing here, Geraldine.
Okay.
Can you tell us? I don't know how much of the show you've listened to this morning, Geraldine, but I'm just kind of wanting to connect with people and see how this whole major change of life has affected you on a daily basis.
Well, of course, around here, all the churches are closed and the meeting places. You can't go down and have coffee with your friends, down at the local Dairy Queen or diner or wherever other people meet.
Exactly.
So fortunately, I'm kind of an introvert, kind of a recluse as it is. But it's just kind of it's different. It's different.
Yes, it has proved to be a very different way of life for many of us, for sure.
It has. Yesterday, my son had taken his son. They went out of state, and they had a really weird experience in that they couldn't visit my sister, his aunt.
Because, really?
They were from, they went to Kansas to visit and to, just to look around the old place that we used to live. And he was unable to visit her as much as she wanted to because they were from Colorado.
Oh, for heaven's sake, is that right? Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was really a weird thing, but I guess Colorado has more cases than Kansas. And she works, with the social services department, so she has... I mean, she's working from home and has to really take precautions. I mean, she couldn't come into contact with them at all.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That was weird. Yeah. And with us, it's just like, they came by, and we ended up just doing, not letting them in the house, which is so weird.
Sure.
We had wondered, how are we going to handle our loved ones, our grandchildren,
Definitely.
And it was just kind of, we still accepted hugs, but we ended up grilling hot dogs. We ended up grilling hot dogs outside and just had kind of a picnic outdoors.
Right.
So that we could visit and spend some time together. And it was just kind of a whole different type thing because we're used to grandkids running around, and hugs and hands into jelly beans and different kinds of things.
Sure.
So it was a little surreal. And fortunately, we had my husband does most of the shopping. I have a compromised immune system.
Yes.
And breathing problems. And he was able to score a gallon of milk at the grocery store after a truck had just been unloaded. So we sent that with them because they hadn't been able to get milk. It was hard for them to find milk. So we sent milk with them home with them so they could have milk for their large family.
And this is a great example of ways to help each other out, Geralyn.
Yeah.
I've heard people believe, or even mailing things. Well, of course, you can't mail milk, but I've heard of folks that are even mailing things to each other, like toilet paper, which is just crazy that we have such a shortage of that. But people really kind of went wild over that. But, well, thank you for sharing that with us, Geralyn. Oh, my. I didn't realize. And I don't know why. I can understand New York being a hot spot and California being a hot spot and maybe even Washington State. But then again, what about Oregon? Isn't Oregon in between there, if I remember my geography correctly? And here we are in Colorado.
Oregon.
We're becoming a hot spot state. And it's like, why? What about Chicago and all these other places? You know, unless I'm not following the news well enough, I don't know. It just seems weird.
No, I agree with you. You kind of wonder. I can understand Washington being a hot spot because, you know, they're on the coast and there's a big port city and get,
true,
you know, a lot of their imports and stuff. And, in fact, I have one son who's up in the Tacoma area, so that's affected him. But you know, you can kind of see it on some of the coastal or highly populated states.
Yeah.
But,
areas.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm in a rural area. You know,
yes.
It's just kind of like we're already fairly isolated. So it's just like you just don't know what to do. It's just like, you know, we have the mandated precautions, and I can understand it in large, you know, urban areas, but it's just like, okay, you know, even when you're watching the news or getting on Facebook, it's just like, okay, how much do I want to, I don't know if it's buy into it or what, you know, what is reasonable?
Yes.
On my precautions, you know, I understand taking precautions, but we take precautions when our grandkids, you know, who live in another town, when they have the flu or something, you know, we don't go visit, you know, or they don't visit us when their family is sick with anything that can get spread around.
Right.
And it's just like, what kind of precautions are sensible at this time? And so, you know, it's hard to do, I guess. It's kind of a new world that we're in at the moment.
Like this one gentleman on, I usually don't watch the late night talk shows, but I knew there was going to be a physician on this one late night talk show the other night. So I listened to him and he said, I guess the question was asked, where do you draw the line between panic and caution?
Yeah.
Which is true. And I have changed my habits some. For example, when I walk out the door, I wash my hands. And there's been more than once when I get all the way out to the car and I realize, wait a minute, I didn't wash my hands, better run back in and do that. So I'm trying to make that a habit. And when I walk back in the door coming home. But I agree with you, Geralyn. It's difficult for people in a community like ours, because I'm in a small community as well, where we don't have a single case, praise God, that we know of anyway, in my county yet. Yet.
Yes.
So it's very difficult to see that imminent danger right now. Now, if we woke up tomorrow morning and they said that there were 500 cases in this county or even 10 cases in this county, then you might start rethinking. I don't know. I don't know how people would react. But I understand what you're saying. It's almost like when you hear of a tsunami in some other country and how hundreds of thousands of lives are lost, and of course you feel very bad for that country and all of those families, but it doesn't affect you directly like there was a car wreck and three teens from your town were severely injured or killed last night type of thing,
right?
Because it's closer to home. So I don't know. It's. I think it's that relativity thing that is difficult for people to grasp the seriousness of this. And then the question, how serious is serious? Who knows?
Yeah, yeah, and you know, you hear about, you know, we're used to, I'm using used to, you know, we're in quotes, in you know, the air quotes, and that, you know, hearing about, there's so many regular flu deaths every year. It's just, how is this different?
Yes, and I brought that up at the beginning of the show. I don't know if you were listening, but I had heard that on the news the other night. That question was asked about, for example, the swine flu. They said the swine flu was not as infectious. The mortality rate was lower with the swine flu, and there is an increased severity and transmission with the corona, the COVID-19 virus.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So those were questions that were answered on a show I watched the other night or on the news or somewhere. And maybe these are questions too, Geralyn. If you check out, like I've mentioned, CDC.gov and this new website, coronavirus.gov, that they've just set up in the past few days, that might have answers to some of those questions too.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Thank you. But it just... Yeah, it's just kind of strange world. But we, you know, I keep in touch with friends that we can talk on the phone, or we text, or meet online. And I have some friends that I meet with once a week anyway, regularly. That online, you know, in a little chat group. It's just a personal chat group. And
yes.
So we have that, but. You know, I have, you know, I'm really blessed with some close, good friends that I can keep in touch with. And we, you know, we talk with each other and we pray with each other and, you know, well, long distance pray with each other, you know, pray for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, I just keep trusting in the Lord. You know, it just, it's just, there are so many good verses in the Bible that, that direct to this time, and you know, in with the 24-hour news and everything, you know, Psalms 112:7 says, "He will not fear evil tidings; his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." And that's what we have to do. We can't be fearful, and we just have to trust God. That, you know, He knows what's going on in the world. He is still on the throne.
Yeah, He knew about this long before we did, huh?
yeah, He did. So it'll all work out for His purpose. And we just have to wait patiently, and I think be smart. Try to use wisdom at this time. You know, whatever that is at the moment, since, you know, things have been changing daily.
Yeah, they sure have.
Be cautious, but not fearful.
I agree with you, Geralyn, and thank you for sharing this morning. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Keep up with your good message and keeping everyone up to date.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you.
Folks, I just had a caller on the line. My friend who was just on the line a moment ago shared a scripture verse with us, and here I have a couple of other ones that I've been accumulating over the past week that I'm just kind of making myself a little file. This one is, what a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of every mercy, and the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. And why does He do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them the same help and comfort that God has given us. That is from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4 in the Living Bible. As Geralyn and I just discussed, it is difficult for people in smaller communities, especially in areas where there is no reported cases of coronavirus, COVID-19, to comply with the restrictions that have been set, because the threat does not seem as imminent as it does in some other areas. It's difficult when you're dealing with an unseen threat, I guess, in that you're not seeing the sky turn gray and green with a possible tornado. You're not seeing a lot of rain that could precipitate floodwaters. You're not seeing thunder and lightning, things that are a definite physical threat to your safety, and you know that you need to get to a safe place, that you need to take certain precautions. So I think that's what makes this particular situation very difficult for people to realize just how serious this could be. Once again, if you'd like information, there's websites out there. Watch for fictitious websites, but the websites that are most common probably right now is the cdc.gov, and there is a new one that has been set up called coronavirus.gov. There's also a gentleman who I heard on a late night talk show the other night. He is the medical consultant with CNN, I believe is what his position is. His name is Dr. Sanjay Gupta, Sonjay Gupta. He is doing very short podcasts every day to bring people up to date on what is going on. He's done a couple of interviews with folks as to how their life has been changed. And he can be, hit that podcast can be accessed by just putting Sanjay, Sonjay Gupta, Gupta, podcast in your search bar. And those podcasts will come right up. They're fairly short, so if you want to just take a few minutes throughout your day to listen to a couple of them. Of course, the news has had a special just about every day about what is going on legislatively with some of the things that they're trying to do to relieve people's economic burdens and what they're doing to try to get medical equipment to folks all over the country as needed. And there's going to be a considerable need for gowns and masks and protective gear and ventilators and things like that. As this illness does affect the respiratory system, it is manifested by a cough, fever, and shortness of breath. It is believed the virus is transmitted by coughing and then droplets that fall on surfaces are easily picked up by the next person who comes along. So be sure to use disinfectants in your home, wash your hands frequently, things like that that are, as my friend said just a few minutes ago when we were talking, common sense. These are common sense measures that you use anytime somebody in your home has the flu. So the physical distancing is the main issue that is very different for all of us. I want to apologize too. With the last show I aired last Wednesday, I heard later that several people left me comments, but to be honest, I have no idea how to access comments during the show. There may be a way I can do that afterwards when I'm on another screen. So I apologize if you left a comment and I never responded, because I have since edited that show, and if there were any comments there, they're gone now. So I do wish to apologize to any listeners who may have left comments that I never did see. The thing, when you do cough, it's best to cough into your inner elbow so that you don't get those germs on your hands and inadvertently transfer them to someone else. Doorknobs are important to be sure and keep clean in your home. Keep in touch with the seniors in your community. Keep in touch with the people that you go to church with, because right now you're not able to be a part of that faith community. So those people are an important part of your life. So keep in touch. Maybe call one person a day and just kind of chat with them and see how they're getting along. See if there's anything you can do to help. I think the most important thing that we need to remember during this very difficult time is kindness. Just be kind to people. And that can entail anything from picking up a couple of items for an elderly neighbor at the grocery store to calling a friend and just chatting for a few minutes. People are encouraged to do activities outside. I know where I am in my part of the country, the temperature is warming up. It's supposed to be nice and warm today. So go to a park, go for a walk, go for a bicycle ride if you can. These kind of things are things that sometimes get put to the side because we're so busy with our daily lives. Well, right now is a time for things to kind of be slowed down. There's no meetings, there's no church activities, there's no school. People don't have to be places like we almost always do in our daily lives. Maybe this is God's way of slowing us all down and giving us an opportunity to focus on Him and focus on each other and focus on what life is really all about. I talked to my son in the UK a couple of days ago, yesterday in fact. They have instituted restrictions over there in that non-essential shops are closed. In our country, we have a 10-person public meeting restriction, and over there, it is 2 people. So they're also, like everyone in the world is, are experiencing some very serious consequences from this illness. A radio station that I mentioned on my last show last week that I really enjoy is KTLF Radio. It's a Light Praise Christian station. They're totally listener supported. They are a wonderful inspiration during this time, and they are putting the emphasis on how we do not need to be in a state of fear. We need to be in a state of caution, but not in a state of fear. I have another verse I'm going to share here with you from the Bible. Despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky, or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when He died for us. That's from Romans 8:37-39, again from the Living Bible. So there's plenty of scripture verses out there that we can rely on. Call a friend and pray with them. Pray by yourself. Talk to God. He's listening. During the darkest times, that's when we can be silent and listen for His voice. Be sure to watch for scams and misinformation. There are people out there that are trying to get your money to support this and that. And I'm sure that there are legitimate venues out there as well, people trying to get food and necessities to folks. But there's also those that sadly, unfortunately, during situations like this are going to take advantage of people and try to get your money. So be very careful about that. Be careful about misinformation as far as the virus itself. I heard last night that there is absolutely no online test that you can send for that is a legitimate test. Be careful about that. Testing should be obtained through your physician, through your healthcare providers, through your healthcare facilities, not something that you see somebody advertising online. So if you do have symptoms, fever, cough, shortness of breath, be sure and contact your healthcare provider right away so that you can get the help that you need. So I would urge folks to go to pattysheen.com and check on the Blog Talk Radio. Click on the Blog Talk Radio tab and you'll find several different shows there that deal with people finding their way out of darkness and back to light, or helping others find their way out of darkness and back to light. I hope and pray that everyone out there is doing okay, that you have everything that you need, that you have the food that you need, that you have someone who is watching out for you if you are compromised in any way. I'm praying for our healthcare professionals, for all of those who are at risk, for all of those families who have a loved one who has the COVID-19 virus. Praying for our leaders that they will make the right decisions in helping us get over this pandemic situation. So with that, I'm going to sign off for today. I would like to encourage folks to email me at patty.sheen@gmail.com. It's patti.sheen@gmail.com. if you would like to come on the show, I'd love to have you come on the show and talk about what's going on with you. And for all of you out there who have been listening, may God bless you. And remember that when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Until next time, God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a